I'm pulling away from the curb because I dropped my son off at school. We all know what that means. It's time for their drive to work. Okay, so one of my goals with this podcast is to have a podcast talking about each and every Magic expansion. And I've done a lot of it, but someone on my blog recently pointed out that while I talked about Invasion, I had Bill Rose on, who was the lead designer of Invasion, and he and I talked about it a while ago. But I've not talked about Plane Shift or Apocalypse, which are the two other sets. So today, I'm going to talk about Plane Shift, and in a future podcast, I will talk about Apocalypse. So today is the Plane Shift. So in order to explain Plane Shift, let me do a little bit of setting up Invasion, because there's a lot of what Invasion 1 informs what Plane Shift became. Okay, so before I was head designer, Bill Rose was head designer. And Invasion was around where he started. He did a little work before that. But I think the thing of Invasion block is the first block that, like, he really put his thumbprint as head designer. And Invasion introduces a brand new concept, what I refer to as the third stage of Magic design, which is the idea of blocks having themes. And Bill's idea for his first theme that he wanted to do was multicolor. Multicolor existed ever since the third expansion, Legends. And for a while, it showed up in dribs and drabs. And then Bill decided it'd be cool if we sort of didn't do it for a little while and then blew it out. It had a whole block about it. And that's what Invasion was. Now, I think when we began Invasion, there was some idea. We weren't quite sure what to do because there are obviously 10 two-color pairs. Now, I do need to point out, back in the day, before Ravnica, really, we did not treat the color pairs equally. The ally color pairs were treated much nicer than the enemy color pairs in two major ways. One is, it just showed up more. We just did a lot more with ally colors. So there were a lot more ally color cards than enemy color cards, just in sheer number. And then we tended to treat ally color nicer, like you got more for being an ally. We kind of punished you a little bit for being an enemy. Like, not the original Duel Lands. When Richard made them Alpha, they all worked the same. But after Alpha, a lot of the Duel Land cycles we did, we'd make the enemy Duel Land cycle not quite as good as the ally Duel cycle. And just as overall, in quantity and quality, for a long time, we did not treat enemy like ally. It wasn't really until Ravnica that we changed that. So when we originally thought about doing, enemy color stuff, I think the original plan was we'd have it just be in small doses. And then both Henry Stern and I independently both went to Bill and pitched the idea of what if we saved the enemy stuff? And so the idea was, and I'm not really talking Apocalypse today, but that ended up being an Apocalypse. So we'll talk more about the enemy stuff when we got to Apocalypse. So Invasion was very much about ally. I mean, completely ally. So Invasion was ally. Plane Shift, which, so back in the day, for those people that might not be familiar with how blocks worked, in the fall, I'm using Northern Hemisphere seasons here. In the fall, in September or October, we'd have a large set. Then in the winter, January, February, we'd have a small set. And then in the spring, April, May, we'd have a second small set. And so, for example, Plane Shift is 143 cards. 55 commons, 44 uncommons, 44 rares. And that was the size of a small set back in the day. So we'd have a large set, small set, small set. And the way it worked is you would draft the large set, large, 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 all by itself. Then when the small set came out, you would draft two packs of large set and one pack of the small set. And when the second small set came out, you'd pack one pack of a large set, one pack of the first small set, one pack of the second small set. That's how we would draft at the time. And Invasion introduced, it kind of, normally back in the day, we would do two mechanics. The way blocks used to work is each block would have two mechanics, usually named, or in the case of Invasion, not named, or one of them wasn't named. And the idea was that you would introduce it in the first block, and then the second and third block would adapt it and mess around with it and see what they could do with it. The we would eventually get to the point where we started having more named mechanics per set, but that didn't quite happen yet. Interestingly, the block before Invasion, which was Mercadian Masks, was a really big... we basically made a set in which we did name the mechanics. One was Spell Shapers. There was a creature type. Actually, all of them. Rebels and Mercenaries and Spell Shapers were all things that were associated with a creature type, but weren't named. Nowadays, we would make ability words. But anyway, they weren't named, and we got a lot of feedback from people that they wish we had made new mechanics. That because we didn't name them, people didn't see them. But Invasion was right on the heels of Mercadian Masks. So it's actually the next set, which is Odyssey, that starts doing a little more naming of things. Anyway, so Invasion had two mechanics, one named, one unnamed. The named mechanic, also created by Bill Rose, was Kicker. And so the idea of Kicker is, what if spells did more if you paid more for them? And the idea of Kicker is very, very useful. It's not a deciduous mechanic. The idea basically is, one of the things that you need to do when you make a magic set is you need to give people ways to spend extra mana. You know, the nature of the mana system is early on, I'm a little starved for mana, but as the game goes on, I get more and more. And usually by the late game, I have lots of mana and I'm starting to run out of cards. So what we want to do is make sure that there's things to do with your mana, what we call mana gates, basically. You know, we want something that... something that allows you to make use of your mana. I guess mana gate is not technically the right term. A mana gate is something that... mana is what keeps you from getting access to it. So mana gates... We just want things that you can use your mana with. I mean, mana gates, I guess, are a subset of that. But and so the idea is you want to make sure that something allows that. Kicker does a good job. Oh, well, if it's early in the game, I can play it for its cheap cost. If it's later in the game, I can play it for its more expensive cost. The other thing that Bill liked about Kicker, and the reason it made sense in Invasion, was the idea that you could do off-color Kicker. One of the things that was important in doing a multicolor set was, yes, some of the cards were traditional gold cards, meaning I have to spend two colors of mana to cast it. But the idea was, also, some of them are single-color cards that, to optimize the card, you need a second color. I could kick it with a second color. I could activate it with a second color. Maybe there's some additional cost that requires a second color. So the idea of those cards is they're playable, especially in limited, if you have one of the colors, but they get better if you have both colors. Where the gold cards, the traditional gold cards, you can't even play them unless you have both colors. Okay, the other mechanic that I introduced had a nickname. It wasn't actually named. We now call it Domain. We've given it an ability word. It didn't have one at the time. A real quick story about Domain. When Richard Garfield first made Magic, when he first was playtesting Magic, he had a bunch of playtest groups, one of which was from the University of Pennsylvania, where he was going to school. That is what we now call the East Coast Playtesters. Scaff Elias, Jim Lynn, Dave Petty, Chris Page. He also had a group he met through Bridge, now referred to as the Bridge Club. And that was Bill Rose, Charlie Catino, Joel Mick, Don Felice, Elliot Siegel, Howard Kallenberg, Lily Wu. And then he also had a neighbor named Barry Reich, or Bit, and Barry also playtest. I think Barry was the very first person to ever playtest with him. I think he was his next-door neighbor. Anyway, when Richard realized that the game was actually going to get published, he asked the different teams to work on expansions. Now, no one realized how fast Magic would need expansions, because Magic did much better than people expected. I mean, not in a bad way, just you expected the game to act like a normal game, and it was a phenomenon, so no one expects a phenomenon. So the East Coast playtesters would start working on Ice Age, codenamed Ice Age. The Bridge Club would start working on Mirage and Visions, codenamed Menagerie. And Barry started working on a set he called Spectral Chaos. So Ice Age got turned into Ice Age. Menagerie got turned into Mirage and Visions. So when we were making Invasion, the Invasion team was me, Bill Rose, and Mike Elliott. Bill was the lead designer of that. And that's the set where we went to my dad's house. If you listen to my podcast with my dad, we went to my dad's house for the first week of that design. Plane Shift would be the same design team, except we added in Henry Stern. Note, back in the day, we had the Magic Underneath was a lot smaller. So I believe in, like, Invasion, for example, was the first set, I think, that Randy Bueller worked on, for example. Just to give a little context. Anyway, in Spectral Chaos, so Invasion isn't really Spectral Chaos, but we did borrow a few things. The main thing we borrowed was there's a mechanic that Barry had made that we now call Domain. At the time, we just called it the Barry mechanic. And the idea of Domain is they are spells that scale based on the number of different basic land types you have. And so really what it did is just wanted... It was trying to encourage you to splash other colors through splashing other card types. Basic land types. Invasion had Kicker and it had Domain, although Domain was unlisted. So the first thing that happened... So Plane Shift... let me walk through... codename Hong Kong. I think all the Invasion block code names were named after Asian cities, I believe. Our code naming systems got a little more exact over the years, a little more easy to follow. The design was led by Mike Elliott. The team was the same design team as Invasion, except Mike led it rather than Bill. And then William Jockish led the development of the set. First and foremost, like I said, a lot of the way the first small set worked back in the day is it was just more of what the big set did. In this particular case, it was more ally color cards. I also want to point out that the idea of the third set being different, a lot of when I became head designer, back when Ravnica happens, I started instituting what we call block design, where we did a little more planning out what's where. And a lot of the idea of block design came from the success of Invasion Block. Invasion had a little bit more advanced planning. We were working towards something, which was a key part of block planning. Anyway, when I get to the Apocalypse, I'll get more into that when I get to the Apocalypse podcast. Okay, so Plane Shift. The probably biggest thing that Plane Shift was trying to do, A, we were evolving the mechanic, especially Kicker. But B, I think that Invasion was more leaned into single color, although it encouraged you to splash more colors with stuff like Domain. Plane Shift definitely dipped its toe more into three color. And in some ways, Legends, the original Legend set that introduced multicolor did have three color cards in it. But I think this was the next set after that, really, to have some volume of three color cards, where that was a theme. One of the things when we talk about draft, that two color sets, when they're ally, want you to draft shards or arcs, meaning a color and its two allies. The reason is, let's say we have an ally color set. If I draft white and blue, I have the ability to pick up green, or I can pick up black if I want to play three color, because blue-black is also a strategy, and green-white is also a strategy. So for the first time, or not the first time, Legends did it, but for the first time in a draft set, I guess I should say, Legends wasn't really made for draft, we set up the idea of having two-color drafts and three-color drafts. So three-color was an important part of the flavor of Plane Shift. So not only was it doing the ally colors, but it also was setting up a little bit more about three-color. And one of the ways we did three-color is, first off, we had a cycle of dragons that were three-color. They had charms. We had done charms originally in Mirage. The original idea of charms was it was a spell that cost one that did very little tiny effects that were too small to put on a normal card. But the idea is having the choice between the different effects made sense. Charms were very popular, so we were kind of looking for other opportunities to do charms. So the cool thing about a three-color charm is you have three colors. The colors are, can each do their own effect. So the charms in Plane Shift, let's say it's a white-blue-black spell, well, it'd have a white effect, a blue effect, and a black effect. Again, they were small effects, although by the nature of a three-color card, it has to cost three mana versus one mana. So the effects got to be a little bit bigger than the original charms. So that was kind of cool. We also, not only did we have charms, the dragons had lairs. And the lairs were the earliest versions of three-color lands, meaning a land that tapped for three colors. I think they came and played tapped, and you had a bounce. Maybe they didn't come play tap, but you had to bounce a land when you played them. So they put a land back in your hand. But they tapped for one of three colors. We had had, Arabian Nights had a land that tapped for all five colors that pained you, but a City of Brass. But we hadn't done specifically three colors. So first off, Planeshift is playing a little around in three-color space, and this is the first color Legends that had a three-color didn't have drafting. Drafting wasn't a thing. So the idea that you could draft three colors, this was really the first set where you could do that. And so that theme was added a little bit. The other thing, like I said, is you want to expand upon the mechanics. And so one of the things we did with Kicker is, I believe the first set, Invasion, only did Kicker as a, for mana. It had off-color kicker because multicolor was a big part of the theme. But the idea was, if you're going to kick, you're only using mana. There's a cycle of spells in this set where the kicker requires sacking a certain land type. And so you can get extra without necessarily spending more mana. We're very careful these days with sacking land as additional cost, but we did that there. The other thing we did is the idea of what if something had more than one kicker. So the interesting story here is Mike Elliott and I both were inspired by the same idea, which is what if I had a creature that had two different kicker costs? And both of us were inspired by not just two different kicker costs, but kicker costs not in the color of the original card, playing into kind of three-color space. So the idea is I have a card of the center color because we're talking about... so. Let's say we're talking white, blue, black. Blue is the center color, so my main body would be blue. And then I could have a kicker in white or a kicker in black is the idea. Mike and I had two different approaches to this. Mike's approach was the Battle Mages, which I'll get to in a second. And my approach, what did we call them? The Volvers, I think we called them. So I think Mike's was a little more straightforward, and this was Mike's set. So we decided to put the Volvers into Apocalypse. So when I get to Apocalypse, the podcast, I'll talk about those. And we put the Battle Mages here. So the idea of the Battle Mages was, I have a creature. So the Battle Mages all cost two generic mana and one colored mana. And then they were two creatures. But you could spend one and one of the colors. So let's say this is a blue card. I could spend, I think it was like one in white. Or I could spend two in black. So the idea is one of the colors was two mana, one of the colors was three mana, and each one of them had an enter the battlefield effect. So it had a spell effect, essentially, that happened when the creature entered the battlefield. So the idea is for three mana, if I just had blue mana for two and a blue, I could play a 2/2. But for five mana, I had the second color, I could play a 2/2 that generated a smaller effect. Or if I had six mana, I could play the larger kicker cost and have my 2/2 enter with a bigger effect. Or if I have eight, I could pay both kicker costs and I could have both happen. And the way we designed the effects is so that the small effect and the bigger effect were synergistic with each other. So there was value to casting them together. But the idea really, and this was one of the early... the whole idea of kicker was flexibility. And this is even more flexibility. Instead of having one way to... like, normally with Magic, you could cast the card one way. You had one cost. But then Kicker said, oh, now you have two costs. You can cast it with Kicker or without Kicker. Well, Battle Mage just says, hold on. Now you can cast it four different ways. By itself, with first Kicker, with second Kicker, with both Kickers. And that was... It definitely sort of a fun innovation. And it also played... it nicely played into the three-color space. Because... if I only had two colors, I still could play the Battle Mage. I still could even kick the Battle Mage. I might not be able to optimize the Battle Mage, but I still had, if I was playing just the main color and one of the two ally colors, hey, I have a playable card. And the cards were designed such that, especially in Limited, you could play, and just getting one of the abilities was good enough. That was not a bad card. Okay, so next up, again, there was more Domain. We messed around with Domain a little bit and experimented a little bit and just tried, you know. I think Domain here in Invasion, it was just on straight-up spells. I think here we started messing around. Did we do activations? We messed around with other ways to play with Domain. The other thing we did is we did have a new mechanic. Just in the nature of the times, we did not name the new mechanic. The new mechanic we now refer to as gating. We refer to the time as gating. The way gating worked was, it was a multicolor card, usually two colors. It would enter the battlefield, and then it required you to return a card of one of the colors of the card. Now, given the card itself was one of, like, let's say it was a red and green card. So when it enters, you have to return a red creature or a green creature back to your hand. Now, this creature itself is a red and green creature, so you could bounce itself. And there were some of the gating creatures that had an enter the battlefield effect. So, kind of like buyback. Like, you could play it, bounce itself back, and then generate the effect, but not have the creature, for example. Other things, like, for example, let's say you played a cheap battle mage creature early. So I just play it for the 2/2 and attack once or twice. Then I could gate, and then I could bounce the battle mage back to my hand. So the next time I play it now, I could kick it and make it bigger. I think we had a couple cycles of gating. I think there was an uncommon cycle, and I think there was a rare cycle. But the idea was, so that was the new mechanic. We, like I said, at the time, we were a little skittish on naming things. Nowadays, we definitely would have given an ability word. We had what we called familiars. So familiars, once again, playing into our three-color theme. Familiars were in one color, but they made the two ally colors cost one less. So like, let's say I'm a black card. It said, your blue and red spells cost one less to cast. All the familiars had an ability in color for the basic color, for the main color. And then make dress. And the nice thing about that, again, is you can play it in two color, you can play it in three color. If I'm playing black, well, if I'm playing blue-black or playing black-red, okay, it helps in my other color. If I'm playing black-blue-red, all three colors, well, now it helps in both my other colors. And so there's a lot of theme. A lot of the theme of Plane Shift is more stuff for your ally, but starting to lean a little bit and help you to play in three color if you want to play three color. There also were Planeswalker enchantments. The way the Planeswalker enchantments work, I should note at the time, it wasn't until Time Spiral Block and the mending that we kind of redid Planeswalkers and depowered them such that we could make Planeswalker cards. At the time, Planeswalkers were kind of like gods. We felt they were a little bit too powerful to show up on cards. But Planeswalker enchantments were our nod. Each one had a different Planeswalker reference on it from the Invasion story. The Planeswalkers play a big role in the Invasion story. And the way each one worked is you activated it, you randomly looked at the top card of your library, and then the effect cared about what that card was. Oh, I think you might have randomly looked at your opponent, not your library. I think you randomly looked at your opponent's, top of your opponent's library. So it gave you a little bit of knowledge about your opponent, what they had on their library, and you would trigger off what you revealed. The other thing about Battle Mages is Battle Mages were part of something we don't do a lot, which was a vertical and horizontal cycle. I mean, it was a vertical cycle of horizontal cycles. What do I mean by that is, so at Common, we had what we call apprentices. The idea of an apprentice was it was in a single color. Let's use red. So the idea is it's a red card and it was small. I think it was a 1/1. And the idea was it had an activation, two activations in each of its ally colors. So since we're talking red, it had black and tap, it did something. And then green and tap, it did something. So I could play this little 1/1, and I had access to two different abilities. Again, I could play it in a two-color deck as long as I had the main color, or I could play it in a three-color deck. The uncommons were the battle mages that had the kicker cost, so you could kick in either direction. And then at rare, we had the Masters. The Masters were 3/3s that had 2 mana. So let's say it was red. It would be black-black tap or green-green tap. And it was just like the apprentices, but larger spell effects. So the idea is you have the apprentice cycle at common, you have the battle mage cycle at uncommon, you have the master cycle at rare. So it was a, it was both a horizontal and a vertical cycle. We don't do those a lot. The last big story I want to tell, I think I hit all the main things of this set. I want to talk a little bit about a special card that appeared in it. So back in the day, and I've done podcasts on these, we ran an event originally called the Duelist Invitational, later called the Magic Invitational, that was the all-star game for Magic. We would invite 16 players, top pros. There was a whole means by which you got invited, winning pro tours, and there were some fan favorites and stuff. But the way it worked is it was a round-robin tournament, which means it was a 15-round tournament in which each player played each other player once. And the way it worked is there would be five different formats, two of which would be limited and two of which would be constructed. In the early days, I always used to do something called duplicate sealed, where everybody got the same pool. So it was sealed, but everybody gets the same pool. So you know what everybody else has. So duplicate sealed is very skill intensive, which is one of the things I was trying to do for the All-Star game, is I would throw formats at them they'd never seen before. And duplicate sealed, while they'd seen the format before, they hadn't seen the card pool before. And I did all whack. I made up cards for the first time. One year, they were all one drops. I did a lot of weird things. One year, we took existing powerful cards and recosted them. One year, I took weak cards and recosted them. So we did a lot of things like that. One of the other formats in Limited that we did a lot was called Solomon Draft. The way Solomon Draft works, I did a podcast on drafting, or I will. Sometimes I record these. They don't always get released in the order that I record them. The idea in a Solomon Draft is the first person takes it. You shuffle all your cards together in a giant pile. First person takes the top 8 cards off it, divides them into 2 piles. The second player takes one of the 2 piles. Then the second player divides the next 8 cards into 2 piles. Solomon Draft is very skill testing. One of the things I tried in this format is I like doing very heavy skill intensive, because these are the best players in the world. It's the All-Star game. Anyway, so this was the 4th Invitational. The first Invitational was in Hong Kong. The second Invitational was in Rio de Janeiro. The third Invitational was in Barcelona. And the 4th Invitational was in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur. So Chris Pakula, who is a famous Magic player, sadly not in the Hall of Fame. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, but he is. He had, I think, 3 top 8s to his name, almost a 4th. He just missed, just shy of a 4th top 8. He was known for a couple things. One, he was an entertainer. He was a great storyteller. I used him a whole bunch to do commentary. Brian Weissman and him did a bunch of commentary in the early days. He was my color commentator. He was very good. He's a great storyteller. He also was somebody that was really big in the early days of the Pro Tour, were a bit chaotic, a lot of shenanigans going on. He was really someone that pulled the players together and said, hey, if we want to have an honest system, we, the players, have to reinforce that, and was a big part of that. Anyway, Chris had made some top 8s, but he had never won a big tournament. Kuala Lumpur, he makes it to the final 2. So the way it works is there's a round robin, we cut to the top 2. The way the top 2 works is they play best 2 out of 3 in each of the 5 formats. One of the running jokes was Chris was horrible at Solomon Draft. He had never won I don't think he had ever won. I had done Solomon Draft in a couple different invitationals, all of which he had attended, and he had never won a single round of Solomon Draft. Turns out the other person who finished in the top 2 beside Chris was John Finkel. And John and Chris were good friends. John Finkel, for those who don't know, there's a debate for who is the best Magic player of all time. I believe John is the best player of all time, but it's a fine debate. Could be Kai Buda, could be Paulo, could be LSV. There are a bunch of people in contention. I believe so. I think John has the record for the most top 8s. 13, I think. Maybe he had one since. I remember. Anyway. John is a very, very good player and very good at Solomon Draft. One of the best players ever at Solomon Draft. And so when Chris made the top two and knew he was faking John, really what it was, it wasn't even win three out of five because he didn't think he could win Solomon Draft. And so what it really was is he had to win three out of four formats to win. And we put the Solomon Draft first. John crushed him. But then Chris went on to win. And actually, John won one. I don't remember which format John won. John won one other format. But it came down to one of the constructed formats in the finals, the best two out of three. And Chris actually won the tournament. It's sort of Chris's crowning glory, his big giant win. But for winning the Invitational, you get to make a card. So the card Chris turned in, I think he turned in Meddling Wizard, I think was the name of his card. The Meddler. It was called the Meddler. And it was a blue creature. I think it was a 2/2 blue creature that cost 2 and a blue, I think. And when it entered the battlefield, you named a spell. And then you could spend, I think it was blue and sack, but you spend some amount of mana and sacked it to counter the named spell. So we got that spell, the Meddler. But we try to make it match the set we're making it in. Oh, it's in Plane Shift. This is a ally color set. So we changed it. So instead of, I think his version had 3 mana. We made it 2 mana. So white and a blue for a 2/2. And instead of naming the spell and then sacrificing the counter, we said, what if you just name the spell and then now they can't play the spell? So when you cast the spell, you name a spell, and then for as long as this creature's on the battlefield, they can't cast the name spell, any copy of the name spell. And I remember I called Chris, so I would work with the players to say, okay, here's what we're doing with the card, here's how we're improving it. I wanted to get Chris's approval. He was very happy because he goes, you're willing to make that card? I said, yes. And he goes, absolutely. So Meddling Mage has gone on. I wouldn't say it's the most powerful Invitational card, but it's in the top echelon. It is a very good card. It saw high-level tournament play. Most of the Invitational cards actually ended up in the top 8 of a Pro Tour. Not all of them, but a lot of them did. Chris is definitely dead. But anyway, it went on to be a special card. I know Chris bought the art, or owns the art now. Anyway, and so that card is in Plane Shift. So, looking back, like I said, Plane Shift was a fun set. It was very typical, a lot of the small sets of the era. It really did dip a toe into 3-color. It messed around a little bit with what Kicker and Domain could be. It introduced gating, although unnamed. So it definitely sort of did its thing. And it really set up Apocalypse. So at some point, I will do my Apocalypse podcast. But anyway, guys, that is Plane Shift. I'm at work now, so we all know what that means. It means this is the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking Magic, it's time for me making Magic. Hope you guys enjoyed the talk today, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.